Welcome back to the Jeff Paul Radio Show. I'm Scott Buttram, sitting in for Jeff. This is FM Talk 106.5. We are going to be joined shortly by Senator Chris Elliott. Not sure if he's on the line yet or not, but we'll be hearing from him shortly. We were looking at some of the texts that have come in. Let's go back to the text line a second here. And I've got one up. I don't have a name on. There's not a name on this one, but I think he's referring to the area where we are. I'm in Trussville, Alabama. I'm with the Trussville Tribune. If you're not familiar with that, we are on the eastern side of Birmingham in Jefferson County. And this text says there's a lot of road work going on up in y'all's part of the state. The Bayway. So he's from South Alabama. The Bayway should be built before 43 or 65, it's a freaking joke. That really gets back to the point we were making earlier. There are a lot of issues here. And as you go into different parts of the state, you guys are down there in South Alabama. Y'all know the problems that you're facing with major highways and some that need to be expanded, some that need to be improved. Everybody throughout the state are dealing with some of those same things. So how can we really justify the tie-up of the funds that a 43 Western Bypass would take with no assistance, with all state money? We've got Senator Chris Elliott on the line now. He has been a player in this. So let's bring him on in without further ado. Senator Elliott, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on, Scott, and for filling in for Jeff.
Well, I don't know how our listeners feel about that right now. They're sticking with me, and I appreciate it because they've been very patient for a guy learning the ropes as he goes. And we've been able to get some good information out there. We've actually been talking about you all morning. We've talked earlier with Senator Britt, which was the only conversation we had that really did not include Alabama Highway talk. But we did just spend some time with Todd Stacey. We got into the weeds with it a little bit there. Want to talk to you about what has transpired with this contract approval committee. Where do we stand right now on all of these projects, Senator?
Well, right now those projects are on hold, as you well know, and I think the listeners know too. The contract review committee reviews all contracts executed by the executive branch. And either holds them for further review or passes them along and allows the governor to sign them. The catch there is we can only hold them for 45 days. Currently that contract for the design of the West Alabama corridor is being held by me, and Representative Chris England has held the other 13 ALDOT contracts that were before the committee. So they're all on hold right now.
Yeah, I guess the tit for tat in politics kind of never goes away at any level. You know, we see it with city councils, county commissions. We see it with legislature. We see it a lot in Washington. As Todd Stacey pointed out, and as you just said, all y'all can do is put it on hold. We've got maybe about a month left on the 45-day hold, but you can't stop the contracts. You can't undo them. What is the next step, Senator?
Well, he's correct, and you're correct. We cannot stop them, and the governor is likely to proceed with this contract. What we can do, though, is bring attention to what the governor is doing here, and that's the benefit of the contract review committee. I stopped a contract about a month and a half ago that was $117,000 stainless steel sculpture of an osprey to go in front of ADEM's office, and said, "Hey guys, maybe y'all want to think about this. It's just a good use of taxpayer money." And lo and behold, I think they decided not to move forward with it. So sometimes just a little sunlight helps. I don't think that's going to be the case here. I think the governor's hell-bent on moving forward with this project with speed. And that's the rub. Processes she's using, the method she's using to prosecute this project are expensive. They use all state funding and no federal funding. That's a speed issue. She's trying to get them started before the end of her term. The permitting through the Alabama Corps of Engineers as opposed to USDOT is problematic because in order to use federal money, you have to do some of this permitting through USDOT. Even if there were federal funds available in the future, it'd be problematic. You'd have to go back to USDOT. And then politically, Scott, you know this as well as I do. You know, does anybody think the Alabama legislature is really going to allow this governor or a future governor to spend the entirety of the money that can be borrowed against and rebuild Alabama on one project? And I think the answer to that is no. So even the proponents of this project would do wise to take a step back and say, maybe we need to rethink this, because this financing plan, this scheme that the governor's put forth, is not sustainable and is not going to work and won't result in the project actually getting built.
And there's the rub. There's the rub. In Senator Dillard, we're meeting for the first time, so you don't know anything about my background, but I grew up in Tuscaloosa, spent 40 years of my life there, spent a lot of time in the Black Belt, love it dearly. That's just an important area of my life. I can see the value of a Western bypass. I've got no problem with that. I can see some opportunity built in there. But when I look at the funding for this, when I look at the financial side of it, I can't justify this. There's just no way that as a typical citizen, I would say, yeah, I think this is a good idea. I feel like it's a terrible idea as it stands right now. And I think that's an important element you just pointed out. If we're not using the correct agencies to do the engineering work, then we're eliminating ourselves from ever getting federal funding on this, right?
Well, without going back and using DOT instead of the Corps of Engineers, and again, that's just a speed tactic. That is a governor who is, again, hell-bent on getting something, anything done before she leaves. But you and I both know, you know, you're designing 75 miles of road. You're spending on engineering somewhere around $90 million or so when you total it all up. And right, once you do all of that, you know, you're not going to have a road you can build anytime soon. You'll spend a year on engineering. You've got the finish up right away acquisition. You've got utility relocation. We'll really be lucky. They'll be lucky if we turn any dirt before the end of this governor's term. And you've got to wonder what's in store in the future.
Right. Can the next governor undo this contract?
Yes, is the short answer. And the legislature, of course, provides funding. And again, if the Alabama legislature thinks that, you know, if the governor thinks the Alabama legislature is going to spend all this money in one place or allow that to happen without making some funding adjustments, I think she's wrong. And I think that most folks that watch politics could tell you that's the case. So the legislature will figure out a way to keep this from perpetuating for years and years and years after this governor, this ALDOT director, has moved along.
Senator Elliott, let's go back to the root of this. Where did this highway come from? Where did this proposal come from by the governor, and why is she so adamant about it? What are we missing here?
Well, I can only speculate, but I'll be happy to do so. One, the governor's from the Black Belt, right? She's from Camden.
Wilcox,
the governor's former chief of staff is from Camden. The governor's finance director is from Demopolis. I mean, those are the administration is heavy with West Alabama folks, Southwest Alabama folks. That's just an observation and facts.
Okay.
Two, the governor needed votes for the gas tax. And those votes from the other side of the aisle, on the Democrat side of the aisle, are used to and are very good at saying, I will give you my vote, but what are you going to give me? And I think this is one of the what are you going to give me things.
So it's fair to assume.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's fair to assume that Chris England, being from Tuscaloosa, was probably part of those talks, who has conveniently held all the other contracts. I guess that leads to my next question. Why are we cutting deals with a party who cannot stop anything?
Well, that's a good question. I will tell you that Senator Bobby Singleton, who obviously represents a good place, a part of this area, is very effective at stopping things in the Senate. And removing him as a roadblock and an obstacle could be something that the administration wanted to do back during the gas tax conversations. And that brings us to one more thing, and one more problem with this project overall, is that it has doubled in price. Right. The projected cost for this project was $760 million. Right now, with the engineering and CE&I and right-of-way acquisition and everything included, it's hovering around $1.5
billion. Wow. And that, we keep getting back to your original objection. This will gobble up all highway funding for years and years to come. Right before we brought you on the air, in fact, I think you were on the line listening, we got a text from one of our listeners talking about the Bay Bridge in Mobile, Alabama, and what a problem that is for residents down in South Alabama. We could go all over the state and hear from different residents talking about major issues in their part of the state. All of that would have to be put on the back burner for years and years and years to come if all of this money is sunk into the Western Bypass. Am I missing on that?
No, you're correct. The Rebuild Alabama Act, the gas tax, if you will, allowed the administration to borrow up to half of the future gas tax revenues. The quick cost estimates of $1.5 billion and borrowing, the available borrowing power of the current gas tax would essentially mean that you used 100% of the borrowing capacity of Rebuild Alabama. And you're correct, that would really preclude using that money not only for other projects, but for federal match for other projects. And that's right. The real rub. Could we take this cash and make it the 20% match for 80% federal funding, or the 40% match for 60% federal funding? Could we make this money go much, much further with federal match as opposed to this go-it-alone approach, which is solely based on this governor wanting to see dirt turn prior to her leaving office?
Is the gas tax hike that was passed a few years ago, is that gas tax hike, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this, is it built in such a way that it will continue to offset more and more people moving to electric cars, more and more people getting better gas mileage, therefore buying less gas, therefore paying less of a gas tax? We actually kind of see things trending that way slowly, but it's going that way. That was one of the reasons given for increasing the gas tax. Have we factored that in to 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road? Is that money going to stay level? Is it going to increase, or is it going to actually go backwards?
Yeah, you're really smart to ask that question, and that's something another really smart guy in the legislature has been asking, Senator Dan Roberts from Mountain Brook, and we were discussing this with ALDOT earlier this week. You know, what happens as we see this shift to EV in the bond market and the bond market's appetite, if you will, to issue bonds based on future gas tax revenues, when we know that they're likely going to decrease because of EVs. Now, in the Rebuild Alabama Act, we made a provision that we would charge more for the registration of electric vehicles, and that figure was arrived at based on average mileage per year, and in an attempt to recover what would be the missed opportunity of that gas tax, if you will. So EV registrations went up significantly to try to fill in that hole. But that doesn't really account long-term, I think, for what the bond market's appetite is going to be to borrow against future gas tax revenue. So I think there's yet another problem with that needs to be explored.
And that could be disastrous. Once we've committed to that bond, we've got to pay it, no matter what the gas tax does. Senator, I want to shift gears and kind of come back to just something you made in passing, a comment you made in passing there regarding Senator Bobby Singleton. And everybody knows that that is his reputation. He is good at clogging up the works. He's good at stopping stuff. And he uses that or parlays that into getting a lot of things that the Democratic Party wants, despite the fact that the Republicans have a supermajority in Montgomery. Is there any discussion about changing Senate rules so that kind of power is not going to the minority party?
Not that I've heard of. You are correct to say that Senator Singleton is very effective with that. As a matter of fact, I think he's as effective as I've ever seen anyone.
Agreed.
The leadership doesn't like doing things that will upset Senator Singleton or gain his ire. Members are worried sometimes about voting for or against, you know, something that may gain his ire and cause him to, you know, be a problem for that individual member later on a completely separate issue. He's very effective. And I'll go a step further. I had Parker, the Public Research Council of Alabama, do a study on not just where revenues across the state, and that's from gas tax, lodging tax, income tax, everything, comes into the state, but where it is spent. And you can see in hard data just how successful Senator Singleton has been, because we spend in Alabama per capita more money in the Black Belt than anywhere else in the state.
Wow. That's shocking. And as someone who loves the Black Belt, I'm still a little floored by that. Senator, we are coming up on our break at the bottom of the hour. Do you mind hanging around and giving us a little more time on the other side of this break?
Happy to do so.
Thank you. We've got Senator Chris Elliott on the line. This is the Jeff Poor Radio Show at FM Talk 106.5. I'm Scott Butford. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Radio Show. Shout out back down the line to the producers. You guys are killing it with the bumper music. How am I supposed to talk over Alabama? I mean, that's against my religion. I'll be up in the Fort Payne area in about an hour and a half, or headed up there in about an hour and a half. On the line, who has joined us, he joined us in the last segment, he's staying with us for a moment here, is Senator Chris Elliott. I am Scott Buttram, filling in today for Jeff Poor, and I will be back with you on Monday. Senator Elliott, as we went to break, we've covered actually quite a bit of ground regarding the Western Bypass. You've brought all of our listeners up to speed on where that stands and what the future may hold there. Let's shift gears a little bit here and talk about items that are going to come up in the upcoming session. We got Todd Stacey's input on that a little earlier. One of the things I want to ask you about is occupational licensing. We talk about Alabama being a great ready-to-work state and a great state in putting people to work. That's going to be an issue. Tell me about that.
Well, it definitely is, and it's something that I would call kind of the last vestige of big government Democrat control that dominated the state for, you know, 136 years, is this occupational licensing system where we have all of these little fiefdoms that exist around the state, whether it's the Electrical Contractors Board or the Massage Therapy Board or the Counseling Board or the Social Work Board or the Marriage and Family Therapist Board. Don't those all kind of sound the same, those last three?
Yeah.
There are 151 different occupations covering over 432,000 Alabama workers, or 20% of the state's workforce, that run their own separate license board with their own separate staff and their own separate state vehicles and their own separate office space. And if you look at other states in Georgia and Virginia and Florida, they've consolidated administrative functions. A lot of them have even consolidated boards. It's just an area of waste, and it's an area of waste that costs folks that are trying to work. All they're trying to do is go be a plumber, go be an electrician, go be a contractor, go be a wrestler, go be a locksmith, go be a security alarm installer guy. We've got to get the barriers to enter the workforce out of the way. And one of the ways to do that is to get rid of this antiquated occupational licensing system.
This is an issue that has been out there for a while. I'm going off memory here, but I think it was about 7 or 8, maybe longer, years ago, folks from the Alabama Policy Institute dropped by my office, and this was the very issue they wanted to discuss, and how difficult it made it for, like, military families who may be assigned to a base here in Alabama, and the husband's in the military and the wife is a hairdresser or any number of items or occupations you just listed, comes to Alabama. She can't go to work, can't do what she's been doing for the last 10 years in another state because of our occupational licensing here in Alabama. I got a question that's always been in the back of my mind. How many of these were put into place to keep competition out?
You're exactly right. There are a lot of these that are more protection rackets than anything else that keep some folks out of the business. The on-site wastewater board is one of them that essentially septic tank installers, but plumbers can't do it. And it's right. That kind of stuff that drives me nuts.
Senator Elliott, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. You've been a great guest. This is the Jeff Poor Radio Show at FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back.